Hello, and a very warm welcome to Lesson 4, Do Not Anger, with me, Keziah Gibbons. Today, we'll be exploring the nature of our judgments on anger, and whether it can ever have a positive purpose. Before finding ways to align with that positive purpose, in a more peaceful way. Come back to the sacred mountain. Remember how we were climbing it with that sense of presence and awe, drinking in that majestic beauty, the clarity in the air. The day is a magnificent one, and as you continue climbing, and the sun also climbs higher, you begin to feel hot and a little uncomfortable. You tell yourself that you will rest soon and pick a spot higher up where you'll sit and recover. Just as you're almost there, someone comes barreling down the path and pushes past you, knocking you over. To add insult to injury, they don't even stop to apologise and check if you're okay. Now, not only are you hot and tired, but you're angry as well. But what does it mean to be angry? Anger is a fantastically expressive word that can cover anything from frustration or annoyance to full-blown berserker rage. It's usually unpleasant to be on the end of, often unpleasant to be inside of, and we can feel that we've lost control or feel ashamed or even angry with ourselves afterwards. But anger isn't always a bad thing. There are times when we need to be angry, to protect ourselves or others around us. There are times when we need to acknowledge that things are not as they should be in the world. So although the precept here is do not anger, and for me it is the most empowering precept in terms of giving us choice over our own state, there is no judgment on anger. Viktor Frankl famously said, "Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom." Wise man, what if we could learn to accept and understand anger well enough for some of that wisdom to inhabit that space between stimulus and response, the one with the power, the choice, the growth, and the freedom. So what then is anger, and why does it arise? Anger is an emotion, a physiological response, something that happens in the brain, in the body, in our energy. It can often feel like something that happens to us. But the minute we begin to identify with the energy of anger, it becomes something that we do. Anger usually happens as a result of one of two circumstances. The first is where a boundary has been crossed in some way, in which case its purpose is often one of protection. The second is when our psychophysiological state is already in balance because some need has not been met. Yes, hangry is a thing. And a fear that either of these things might happen, a boundary might be crossed or a need might not be met, can sometimes be enough to set us off. So if we, as adults, mindfully, non-judgmentally, and taking responsibility for our own responses and thought patterns, however much that may not be easy if we're not used to it, if we can approach our anger with this awareness, if we can be with it, find the boundary that has been crossed or the need that has not been met, if we can do that, then we can choose how and whether to be angry. And how else we can direct that energy to either move or protect the boundary, or to meet the need. Let me introduce you to Cassandra. Cassandra is in her teens, and she feels betrayed by her parents and all the adults around her. Because of their choices, she's growing up in a world where flood and fire are regular and real threats. And there are no plans in place to ensure that Cassandra will have clean air to breathe for the rest of her life. Cassandra is furious. She carries anger born of fear, and she carries it with her every day. At times it bursts out of her, and she lashes out at those around her, leaving her confused and relationships upset. Sometimes she gets into trouble at school. But when she sits down with the aid of an experienced and empathetic adult to explore all of this, she discovers why she feels so angry. There are both unmet needs and transgressed boundaries here. The needs are basic safety and security, air to breathe, water to drink. Cassandra and every other child in the world has a right to these. The boundaries that are being transgressed are about human interaction with nature, taking more than we need, taking it in an aggressive way, and also about the actions of adults who are using up resources which rightfully belong not only to future generations, but to the current generations, who are already affected by the climate crisis, often in the poorest parts of the world. Just by discovering this, Cassandra now has something she can articulate rather than lashing out. And she knows who she is angry with and why. She can go further and decide to channel her anger constructively. There's an old, old prayer known as the Serenity Prayer, asking for the serenity to accept the things that cannot be changed, the courage to change the things that can, and the wisdom to know the difference. In her wisdom, Cassandra can channel the energy raised by her anger, because yes, there is tremendous energy in anger, in a way that affects change. For example, by joining the growing number of youth activists demanding that the environmental crisis be recognised and responded to. This is an example of what I tend to describe as righteous anger, an anger that serves a purpose and can be directed to right a wrong or change an unhelpful situation. It's also a narrative that genuinely affects a whole generation in our world today. But what about anger which is not justified or is serving an outdated purpose? When I talk about serving a purpose, by the way, I'm referring to the principle that every behaviour has a positive intention, which can often be unconscious. Unfortunately, there's not room to go into this in depth on this course, but I just want to make you aware of it. Let's consider Alex, a parent of two small children. Alex is very fortunate in his life circumstances. Paid paternity leave, a house bought and paid for, a loving partner. Alex's day is spent mostly looking after the kids, Red and Ali, who are both under four. He also takes care of the household, day-to-day stuff. One day, Alex is cooking in the kitchen, heating a simple meal for himself and the kids. Pasta, again, because it's the only thing they'll eat, and he's too tired today to insist on greens. He's got the news on in the background. There's an important political event going on, which will affect the whole family's future, and he wants to hear the coverage. The kids are playing in the next room and keep calling him through. Daddy! Alex rushes through, admires the Duplo construction, and hares back to the kitchen as he hears the sound of water overbubbling. Daddy? Alex heads back into the front room and helps to extract a ball from under the sofa. When he returns to the kitchen, the pan has boiled over and put out the gas. He reaches for the lighter to relight the stove. Daddy? What? He bellows, appearing in the doorway. His kids look up at him, dumbstruck by his apparent anger. Alex's frustration hasn't been expressed in the best way, but it does serve a purpose. To send a signal to the kids that he is not available to them right now because he is concentrating on tasks which are essential to their immediate well-being, preparing food, and ensuring that the stove remains safe while the food is prepared. Alex's anger is a reaction to a boundary being crossed. The boundary being pulls on his attention when he is concentrating on something. And Alex's anger responds to a need that is not being met. He needs mental space and clarity to concentrate. And he is also tired. Although Alex's reaction is not reasonable, it is one which may be recognisable to parents everywhere. I don't know if it is possible to completely avoid these moments, short of creating a more inclusive and parent-friendly society, but there are things that Alex himself can do. Alex's cross boundary is about where he puts his attention. The kids are demanding attention while he needs to concentrate on something else, which is also a part of their care. Perhaps Alex can make a family rule which respects this boundary. Daddy won't come running out of the kitchen while he's cooking, for example. That way, both Alex and the kids know what to expect in advance and learn to create and maintain the boundary together. This simple verbalizing of the boundary and making a clear rule that respects it also solves some of Alex's unmet need for mental space. If he is not constantly running through to sort things out, Alex can concentrate on the dinner, which should be ready soon anyway. And the other part of Alex's unmet need, we know that he's tired, can be addressed again by acknowledging it. If Alex knows he's tired, then he can manage this by instigating some quiet activity after dinner, which doesn't require him to be on his feet too much. So are you ready to apply what we've learned to yourself now? As always, I'd recommend using a pen and paper and writing this down if you can. You give more power to your solutions when you create them with multiple areas of your brain. So take your pen and paper and answer the following questions. Pause the audio if you need to. 1. What is the situation in which I was recently angry? 2. What was the purpose of this anger? 3. What boundaries were being pushed? Are they reasonable boundaries? Are they current? Or do they need to be updated? 4. What needs were not being met? 5. What might I do in the future to make sure that my boundaries are more protected and my needs are being met? Those are the questions. Back on the sacred mountain, you watch the person who barged into you receding on the path. You could go after them and insist that they recognise what they've done and apologise. You even think about it for a moment. But you quickly realise that you don't want to. The incident has already passed, and it's better for you to rest here, take a swig of water, and pick yourself back up. As you make this decision, you feel better already, and by the time you have rested, spent some time breathing and feeling the sacred mountain beneath you, and picked yourself up, intact, you are back in the wonder and appreciation of the moment. I hope this lesson has been useful, and I wonder now if you can already think of a situation where you might respond differently, given what you now know about the kinds of purposes that anger can serve. I'll meet you here tomorrow for lesson 5. Do not worry. Have a wonderful rest of the day.